You said the Nysons had sheep and...
Yeah, the sheep and, yeah, not a very big, as I remember, they didn't have an awful lot of cows, but he raised young stock, you know, beef cattle and sheep, and he had some cows. But they didn't, any of the farmers had a very big dairy at that time.
No.
Most of our farmer had a few sheep, and they'd raise some calves, and then when they was 2 years old, there was buyers that would come around and pick them up, you know, and turn them out for a year and pasture for beef.
I see. It was one of the questions that I did not get on the tape. You spoke about the Wilkinsons living just west of that farmhouse, of our farmhouse, and on the first one was a barn, the first building. What did you tell me about that barn?
Well, it was on one side it had a stable where they kept just a few cows, maybe four or five cows, and then there was a barn floor. And, of course, the hay was all cut and handled by hand then. And then they would drive in on this barn floor and unload the hay on one side a bay that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... That's all it was, just cows and hay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next house down the hill was Melvin or Lewis.
Well, that was owned by Lewis. All that property there was owned by Lewis, and he owned the ferry too. And those other Melvin there was a brother of his. That family, that house. Just below the barn was a double house that only had two rooms on each side, but there was an awful lot of people lived in those two rooms. And Lewis, he never married, and he had a sister, Ellen. She was a cripple, and well, they claim that she got mad and went to bed and never would get up.
I heard that. Yeah. I didn't know she was a cripple, though.
Well, she wasn't until she went to bed and stayed there.
Oh, then she couldn't move.
I never saw her but once. When I did see her, she was sitting up in bed and those books and papers that was piled as high as she could reach. All she had was just a place to sit there. And as I remember, her hair was turning gray and it was a regular mat.
She
had never been combed.
So that was in the first house, the double house.
Yeah.
Owned by
Lewis.
Lewis and his brother? What did you tell me? Brother Lehman? No.
Lehman lived there with him. He was Lewis was a bachelor. He never married, and Lehman lived in there with him in that side. And then on the other side, Melvin lived. And he had, four boys, I think it was.
Benjamin was one of them?
Yeah.
He was the father of Roy Wilkinson, who now lives in East Middlebury.
I don't know whether Benjamin is alive or not.
No, he died about 2 years ago.
Oh.
In Rutland.
He worked for the railroad painter. He used to work for me some when I was down there. And Another one of Melvin's boys is Jim. Jim and Ed, they were twins. And Jim was working for me when he died. He died there in the house, farmhouse there.
For heaven's sake. Heart attack?
No. Pneumonia. He broke his leg and then he didn't heal right or didn't get over it right. You know, he developed pneumonia and he died.
And he never married. He was young.
Yes, he married. He married Seraphine Dupree of Shoreham. They had a boy born there in the house where we lived. They had out on the west side, that place you tore down, you know, that hill that you tore off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we fixed up a little apartment in there for him.
Oh, and that was the first time it was used.
Yeah.
Because we had a hired man and his parents lived in that little apartment. Even though it was quite old and run down, it's what they had. That's interesting.
What is his name? Tom Terrell?
No. I can't think now. He was a wood chopper. And then he came to our farm. He had a wife and a little girl. And his parents. Well, it'll come to me and then I'll tell you later.
Yeah. Well, Nate Smith's, that farm was sold when the Houstons sold it. There was a man by the name of Roy Downing bought it. And he didn't keep it, but just 2 or 3 years, he was a bachelor. But he had his sister and her husband living with him. And they sold it to Carl Smith, Nate Smith's father. And my mother bought it of Carol Smith.
That's the farm that we are on, or the mm-hmm. south, it's, that is?
The house where Thomas lives.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to ask you who your father bought it of. It was Carl Smith.
Yeah.
And he bought it of Ray Downing.
Roy Downing.
Roy Downing. Can't read my writing. And he bought it of Dan Hustis.
Dan Hustis Estate.
Dan Hustis Estate. That's what I wondered about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to go back to the Wilkinsons, do you remember the name of the fourth boy? Benjamin, Jim, and Ed, and what was the other one?
William.
William. And what was Melvin's wife's name? Do you know?
Her name was Loisa. Probably Elizabeth, but everybody called her Loisa.
Mm-hmm. And then down in the house nearest the lake.
That was another brother of Melvin and Lehman. His name was George. His wife's name was Carrie. And they were very respectable and my mother used to go down there and visit them. And she used to come up there, go and visit my mother. And George used to work for the neighbors there. He worked for my father at times, and then he'd work for Mr. Parrish, actually his grandfather, over there.
Yeah.
And he was working for Ashley's father, Carol Wolcott, when he had a hurricane. It slipped right through. It was, oh, it was about a mile distance. It came right straight through the town here. And it blew down a barn up there, south of Bert Farmer's place.
Oh, yes.
And he was up in that lot wheelharrowing. And he unhitched his team in the wheelharrow. He saw this storm coming and drove in on the barn floor of that barn. And this hurricane came through, it was right a twister, and it tore that barn down, and he was killed. And the horses stood right there on the barn floor, and it never touched the horses, or it just broke a hip strap on one of them, their harness, tore a hip strap off.
And did they have children?
They had two boys. One was Ed and one was John. John died when he wasn't, I'd say he was probably in his 20s. And Ed worked for my father. They used to hire out for 8 months then, you know.
Oh?
Farmers would hire a man just for 8 months. And Ed worked for my father for $16 a month. And he was the best man my father ever had. And he went from our place over to Fort Henry and went to work for the Weatherbys over there. They're rich, you know, millionaires over there in Fort Henry.
And that's what the town of Witherby was named for, maybe?
I suppose so. And he went to work for them, and he stayed working for them until he, the Weatherbys, I guess, just vanished or something. They sold out or died off or something. And Ed was quite well off when he lived there in Port Henry, and I've been there to see him since he was there. But he owned quite a bit of property there in Port Henry. He was very friendly with Bert Farmer.
Oh.
His widow is still alive.
What was her name?
I don't know. We've got, we used to exchange Christmas cards. But I don't know. It seems old as Helen, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I won't say for sure. I never knew her.
And did they have children?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yes, they did too. They had a boy. They had one boy.
Well, that's interesting. I'm glad to know about that because I don't believe Roy Wilkinson knows for sure all who his aunts and uncles are, so I'll have to tell him.
This Melvin's, one of the Melvin's boys, the twins, one of them was Jim and the other Ed. And Jim was the one that died while he was working for me.
Yeah.
And Ed, he left town and went over to Whitehall. He married somebody over there. They said that her people had property and I presume he's passed away by this time.
And then how about William?
I don't know about William. He was quite a character. Oh, Melvin did have another fifth boy. His name was Charlie. And he wouldn't steal anything that he couldn't lug. Why, he was in jail, and I don't know how many times, and he was a good worker. People would hire him, but he would steal from them. He stole a pair of bridles, horse bridles, from my father once, and He sold them to one of the neighbors there. I don't know which one it was. But my father found it out, and at that time of the year, farmers would all put up ice, you know, cut ice. And there was one of the farmers that was coming, went by our place with a load of ice on, and father saw him coming, and he see there was two men on the rig when it was coming. But when they got near the house, couldn't see but one. So he went out to the road and went to talking with him. I can't think who it was, what his name was, or where he lived. I think he lived up there on the east road from Manning's. But on the other side of the load of ice, there laid Charlie. Well, father took hold of him and stood him up, and he said, he took him in the barn, and he says, Charlie, I'm going to tie you up and call the police unless you tell me where those bridles are, and you'll go and get them. He says, I'll tell you, John. He says, I'll tell you right where they are. He says, now go get them, too. So he did. Father let him go, and he went and got those bridles and brought them back.
Called his bluff.
What's that?
He called his bluff.
Yeah.
Yeah. He couldn't get away with it.
He stole a plow once. And it was a plow, you know, as you drive by Arnie Hillman's, there's a plow that's up there.
Yes.
It was a plow like that, and I don't know what might be the same one. But he made a raft, and he took that plow and put down the raft, and he went down through the lake on that raft, and somebody picked him up.
Well, what did the plow do? Was it like a rudder? Or you know, he just
no,
carried it.
He just had it. He was going to sell
oh,
it
yeah, I see.
To somebody.
I see what you mean, yeah.
But he was headed for over the lake somewhere, you know. But he got on that raft and the wind took him right down through. But I used to hire him. He was an awful good in the hayfield. We didn't have room for hay in the barns, and we'd have to stack it. And I'd hire Charlie. He was an awful good man for a few days. And he'd build a beautiful stack of hay. It'd stand and shed water. There wouldn't be any waste of the hay at all. But go to bed at night, you know, and Charlie, you wouldn't know whether he'd be there the next morning or not. But he'd work two or three days for anybody, and he'd work good, and then he'd go, have to go.
Well, tell me some more about the ice cutting. Did everybody in the west part of town cut on the lake, or did the whole town cut on the lake?
Pretty near the whole town.
Whole town.
Oh, well, there's some of them on the east part here might put some up out of the fair if they found a place where it was clear enough. But most everybody went to the lake.
They each took their team and hired someone to saw?
There was usually somebody, you know, like this George Wilkinson. During the winter, he had an ice plow where he could plow down about so much, you know. And then all they'd have to do would saw one side and then take a chisel, and the cakes would break right off.
And they paid him.
Yeah, so much a cake of ice.
And then each one with their teams came and took them to their ice house.
Mm-hmm.
Was that
they'd go down there, and George would have somebody to help him, and they'd help load that ice. Did you ever see a pair of the tongs?
Yes.
I got a pair.
When I was a little girl, my father did it in Massachusetts. And I remember going barefoot on the ice covered with sawdust in the ice house.
Yeah.
But I don't remember, I was never allowed out in the river or wherever it was they got their ice. It was too dangerous for a little girl, so I could never go, so I never knew about that part.
Well, Carl Smith, when he lived there on that farm, he cut ice 2 or 3 years there. And they'd cut out a patch, and there'd be a place maybe as big as these two rooms of open water for night settled in. Usually freeze over during the night. But I don't know how the conversation started or anything about it, but somebody told stumped Carl Smith to swim across that pool of water. And they give him $10 if he do it. And that darn fool, you know, he jumped right into that ice water and swam right over.
How could he?
For $10. I don't know. He was a mother.
See, he was Nathan's father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And was the ice cut just at our place or down at Crown Point and all along?
Oh, yeah. All along.
All along.
Down Guards Bay, somebody would be cutting down there. And somebody there at Wilkson's Ferry and at Crown Point. Somebody would cut.
And maybe in between two, some other place? Was there another road there?
Well, no, there wasn't any good access to the lake, only in those places, and that's where they would cut the ice.
Well, is Guyard's Bay where Jones's Dock is?
Well, they would go down and go on the lake right there where John Guard's camp is. You know where the part is?
Yes, right there. Oh, it isn't so steep there.
No.
No.
I broke my arm down there drawing ice.
Gracious.
When I was in the store here, I was driving
Yeah, he knows.
We put up ice and we had a truck, an international truck here that we used to deliver groceries and run for our meat cart on. And we'd take the meat box out. And I was drawing ice to fill our ice house for the store. And I broke my wrist.
Gee.
Never done it. You can feel it right there.
Yes.
It didn't do a very good job of setting. I didn't go to the hospital, I just set it. Dr. Brazel set it. I was cranking my car when I done it.
Oh.
Backfired.
Let's see. Oh, you said a few minutes ago that they hired a man to work 8 months. Does that mean they did not hire a man during the winter months?
Most everybody would just hire him for 8 months. They give him so much a month or so much for the 8 months. And then the winter, they didn't have anything to do.
No.
Or chop wood for different people and
chop wood and cut ice, but they'd do it just by the day.
Yeah.
Because they didn't milk their cows in the winter?
Not too much.
And how long ago was it that you cut wood in the winter? Did you cut wood down on that farm?
Yes, when we were first married until, well, until we moved. When we moved back the second, to the farm the second time, we didn't have electricity then, but we bought a stove, it's out here in the back room now. It was enamel, white enamel, cook stove. And we used to get up a wood pile and 10-12 boards of wood. And we'd use that for our fuel. And we had a furnace down in the basement, down the cellar, and we would cut wood into chunks. And for that, that was our fuel.
And you always had someone working with you in the woods.
Yeah.
Then you said when I was here before that this house was once a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the 1800s probably?
No, not in the 1800s. It was a hotel when, just before we were married, there was a fellow named Norton that run it. And this room was a bar room.
Oh.
It was a bar right here, you know, with a brass rail for him to...
Why didn't you keep it?
It was there when I come in.
Oh.
It wasn't here when we took it over.
And then their bedrooms were upstairs and downstairs. And then they had a dining room besides the bar.
Well, that room out there was divided. And there's a partition on it. And one side of it. And then they used the back, out back room there for, that was their kitchen. And I suppose, I don't know what they did use those two. One of them was a dining room.
Well, who did this place belong to before you had it? Who did you buy it of?
Well, there was a time
Braisted that lived here once.
Braisted?
Yeah.
I don't.
Don't you know some school kids boarded with her? I heard your mother tell. Some Mrs. Braisted.
Well, this store in the White House across the road here belonged to Bennett. And he had a very good business there for a long time, but they appointed him town clerk, and he was town clerk and town treasurer. No, he wasn't town clerk, he was town treasurer. And when they audited the books one fall, there was quite a lot of mistakes or something that couldn't be accounted for. And it was brought up at town meeting, and Bennett couldn't clarify it, and they put him out of office. And he came right over and closed the door of the store, and he never opened it after that. And when Reuben and I came back from Townsend, we went into Middlebury. I went to cutting meat for Kenneth Gorham out there. And we've heard that this Bennett property was to be settled up, and Lee Palmer was the administrator. And he put it up, the store and house up, for sealed bids. And I put in a bid out there in Middlebury. The bids was put into the probate court office. And Forrest Merrick's father, he put in a bid too. That was the only two bids that was put in. But we got it. Kenneth and I got it. And I gave up the job out there and came out here with her father and lived with father and mother for a while till we could paint and fix up the store some over there. And Kenneth, when he got the place, Kenneth and his wife, she wanted that house over there. And it was agreeable to us because we liked this one the best.
And this house went with that property?
Yeah.
All this whole car?
No, it didn't belong there. Kenneth owned this house.
Oh, Kenneth.
But we, the two of us, bought that property over there. And then we had partners come to appraise that house and this house too.
Yeah.
And Kenneth wanted that house over there, and just perfectly agreeable to us to take this house.
I see.
So that's the way we got it.
So this was Myrick's before.
Yeah.
You know who had it before Myrick?
Well, I think that they bought it, I think there was after Norton gave up the hotel here, I think there was a fellow named George Salas. That was Harry Salas's uncle, bought the place. And they started in running a hotel.
Oh.
And Kenneth and his brother, Russell, bought it of them and set up a store in this end of the house here. When Raven